Newsflash to every one of you out there who believes that security can be achieved. It cannot. Security is an illusion that has been constructed by our mind in order to help protect us, making it so that way we think that we have any control about what goes on in the world around us when we have none whatsoever. Hello, and welcome back to the Forbidden Knowledge Podcast. My name is Nathaniel Hoitmacher, and I will be your host. In this episode, we are going to be going over time and how it is basically an illusion, as well as how it holds us back from achieving our real goals and whatnot, based upon our understanding of this illusion and how it takes control over us. I would especially encourage anybody who is new to the podcast, please go back to the previous episodes and go in order so that way you don't miss anything. Each episode builds upon itself in each season, and it would be most beneficial for you to go in order. Doesn't mean you can't get stuff from this episode or any other episode that you listen to, even if you listen out of order, but they've been built in a specific way that is done in order to make it so that way you will gain the most from it if you listen to all of them in order. All right, so I want to do a thought experiment here, and I want you to participate in it. And the question is, where do thoughts come from? Now, I know you might be thinking, what the heck does this have to do with time? You'll understand in a moment for what it is. So just please. I'm going to ask the question again. Where do thoughts come from? Well, most of you right now are trying to scramble to come up with an answer. Maybe you're talking about something to do with neurons firing and whatnot, or maybe you're even scratching your head and saying, I don't know, or whatever it is that's going on inside your mind when you're trying to search for the answer. But if we step back and we slow down the process, and we really look at what happens when we ask this question, where do thoughts come from, and look at it for what's going on inside of our mind, this is what is happening. When I ask the question, where do thoughts come from, the immediate response that you go into is that you are searching for the answer. And you're searching for it in your mind to wherever that answer is stored in your head that you are going to give for what's going on. And so this shows us that thoughts come from a memory bank, because that's what we're doing. We're searching our memories in order to come up with where the answer to that question, you know, is, or what it was. So this is important because it teaches us about how our entire mind works. If thoughts are come from a memory bank and makes it so that way that's where we get our thoughts from, is from the past and things that have been stored in our mind there, well, then that says a lot about us as a species and a lot about how this can be used to trap us and not be able to live in the present moment as much as we should be able to do so. When we are not in the present moment, which is how most of us are throughout most of the time with it, a lot of the time we're just on autopilot. which means that whatever our thoughts are most prominent, reoccurring patterns that have been built into us are, in terms of our neurological pathways, which has to do with us doing the same things over and over and over again, this is what we will do. We will follow whatever it is that is our most easiest, most default habitual pathway, and it makes us that way. It comes from our past, which means that our future is already predetermined because we've already decided what we're going to be doing, just like a machine would already do with its programming. And so this is one of the problems when we don't live in the present moment. A lot of people, when they're having a conversation, as an example, they're not listening to actually listen to the other human being that's talking to them. They're listening to respond, which means that they already are preconceiving their ideas for where the next stage of the conversation is going and are already making that what they're focused on rather than what the person is talking about. And by doing so, it makes it so that way we may miss something. Now, I would imagine that almost all of us don't have the life that we truly desire and want, which, if that is the case with it, which is truth for everybody, we can always have a better version of life than what we even have now, even if we have a great life, is that means that we need to change how we think in order to make it so that way we can change our future. And the only way to do that is to live in the present moment, because the past actions that we have done haven't gotten us to where we are, and where we want, have gotten us to where we are, excuse me, and hasn't gotten us to where we want to go. And so, why am I bringing all this up? Because this is a huge part of the initiate's journey. It's about being able to make it so that way we can be in the present moment. We can truly experience it and be vulnerable to it. Much like how we were with children to the world, and how it was a magical place in the sense that, you know, we were so vulnerable to everything around us that everything was astonishing to us. But now we've cut ourselves off from life in comparison to when we were a child, thinking that we already know everything that's going to happen. And while that might be true for certain aspects of things, there's a lot of things that it's not true for. And it makes it so that way, you know, we are victims to our own mentality about life and whatnot. So another aspect of this is that people, when they live in the past, they allow any of their past traumas that they've had to control them, to make it so that way that whatever that is in terms of their programming that's happened in their conditioning from growing up, that it controls the outcome of where they're going whenever they're not living in the present moment. Only in the present moment can we escape from our past fully. Until we've completely transmuted whatever's happened to us in the past and whatnot. And so there's a reason why we have this method of doing things, of projecting on the past. I mean, projecting on the future from the past, as well as making it so that we were constantly worrying about the future and that kind of stuff. And it comes from a self-defense mechanism that we will call the ego, which is our sense of identity and self. The ego was originally designed as a way to differentiate ourselves from other things around us. If we didn't realize that our body was our body and didn't belong to somebody else or to something else, then that falling branch that is coming down from the tree and whatnot could kill us, or we could fall off a cliff, or we could get too close to some sort of wild animal, like a bear that might want to do us harm, or something along those lines with it. So the ego was created from an evolutionary standpoint in order to protect us from our environment, and it needs to have very strict definitions about what things are, because if it's wrong about how some of these things are, then it makes it so that way we have huge problems that can come into being that lead to us being maimed or killed. And so this is why a lot of conflict occurs between people who have big, strong egos, because they have the need to be right, and it goes back to a survival mechanism that is put into place there for it. The issue is that it was only supposed to be for physical harm, and it was only supposed to be for our immediate protection in the physical world. It became a tyrant, though, and it has been made to the point, built up to the point that now it controls practically every action that we do and every thought that we have. And so the ego, which is based upon memory, which is based upon thought form, which is based upon what we've been experienced and exposed to in the past, now dictates practically every aspect of ourselves. And it makes it so that way we are controlled by it one way or another. This is the conditioning, the programming, and all the other stuff that I've brought up earlier in this episode, and in other episodes even for that matter, for what's going on. If we don't know where our thoughts come from, whether they're our own or not, as I've mentioned in previous episodes, we can't really determine who's running the program, who's really doing stuff with it. And since most of us live on autopilot rather than in the present moment, which is where all magic can occur, where all change can occur, the only place where we can create our future, we need to make it so that way we begin to live in the present moment more. And so, you know, that's part of what the whole point of ruining our attention spans are, too, that has been going on, you know, in the last 20, 30 years, whatever it's been. If you can't pay attention to things with it, then you aren't in the present moment. You go back to being on autopilot, or you're constantly looking for something to give you the mental stimulus that you're looking for, and that will make it so that way you seek that out, which is natural because we are a rewards, based creature. Or the reward we get from doing something, the more we want to do that thing. This is true of pretty much all beings on this planet. So it's important that we really understand how this plays out for ourselves and come to terms with the fact that by focusing on our past and our futures too much and worrying about the future with all the doubts and anxiety and all the other stuff that comes from it, none of that has to do with what's actually happening in the moment. All that has to do with is how we are in fear of what will happen. And so this is something else that needs to be touched upon, is that in the last episode I was talking about a litmus test about how to know whether something is being done in a way that's supposed to help you or something that's being done in a way that only hurts you. And the litmus test was basically whether it's coming from a place of love or a place of fear. And I gave an example of how that would play out. Well, our own mind makes it so that way we live constantly in fear because we want security. But newsflash to every one of you out there who believes that security can be achieved, it cannot. Security is an illusion that has been constructed by our mind in order to help protect us, making it so that way we think that we have any control about what goes on in the world around us when we have none whatsoever. You could have been born with some sort of defect that makes it so that way you have a brain aneurysm and drop dead. Could happen to me right now while I'm recording this. We could all be wiped out from nuclear war, since that seems to be, you know, something that is much more likely to occur than, say, it was a decade ago. We could make it so that way there's some sort of asteroid or meteor that comes out of nowhere and wipes us all out. Or there could be that you just make a mistake while walking down the street and get hit by a car or a bus or some other vehicle by not looking both ways carefully or whatever the deal is. I mean, there's no such thing as security. It's an illusion. Period. The moment we let go of this notion that we have any say in what happens to external things around us, that's the moment that we can actually begin to get peace of mind back and make it so we're not living in a sphere as much and not living from a place of wanting to control everything with it, which is where the ego comes in, which is where our autopilot comes in, and all these other things that happen that aren't helping us in any way, shape, or form. And so, you know, I want to change myself and help influence others to want to change themselves and live in a better world, of course, too. And so now I'm going to go over some of the benefits of living in the present moment and what happens when we truly become vulnerable to it. We live in the present moment. That's where all creativity can begin. And creativity is where we gain our power. This is where we have our inspiration. This is where wisdom comes from. When you have a new thought that you've never had before, or an insight about a situation that's being presented to you, and whatnot, that's where that comes from. It's where you have broken free from your programming and your limited mind and are pulling from much deeper well of resources that are there that make it so that way you can do better for things with it. We need to understand that this inner creativity guides us, you know, along a path. This is what's made every aspect of our lives better. You know, some of us unfortunately need to hit rock bottom before we really engage that creative spirit of ours and whatnot. It gives us courage and inspiration and insight. And it makes it so that way it opens doorways where there weren't any before and removes roadblocks to things that we had done with it. If we really want to change our future, we cannot use the past to do so, because that is only a recreation of something that's already existed before. You need something new in order to change your future, which means you have to take a new thought. I mean, take new action, which means you have to have new thoughts. And the only way that can occur is when you live in the present moment, to where you are able to let go of preconceived notions about what is possible and what is not possible. Because, you know, if you think you can do it, then you will be able to change your world. And if you think that you can't, then you won't. Either way, you're right, which is what the ego wants. It wants to be correct. It wants to make it so that way its definition of its sense of self, aka how it perceives you and how you perceive yourself, is the most important thing to it from a survival standpoint. Now, of course, our creative spirit, which only comes about when we're in the present moment, it'll probably require you to dance with chaos. It'll make it so you have to teach yourself how to laugh as you fumble around with your steps. Creativity loves audacity. And, you know, it makes it so that way those who fail are actually making progress, which is the exact same opposite of what we've been taught. In order to succeed, you need to be successful. Well, in order to succeed, you need to fail many times for what's going on. So there's that side of it too. In order to reach creativity, though, we need to have acceptance, which makes it so we have to accept what's happening in the present moment. We have to accept our life situation as it is. We have to not delude ourselves into thinking that things are different. And so this is why we have to go in order of the steps in the initiate's journey, which is you have to believe in a higher power. This was to make it so that way we can actually know what we can change and what we can't change in this world. Because if we think that we're the sole arbiters of truth, that's going to give us lots of problems for what's going on. And it also makes it so that way we can determine for ourselves what the best course of action is. Number two is we have to be honest. Being honest makes it so that way we can truly go in the right direction. If we're dishonest with ourselves and we start lying to ourselves, then we have a bunch of problems, which, of course, is step number three, is to stop dreaming. Stop having cognitive dissonance to where you have issues that make it so that way you have false assumptions and beliefs about the world, that make it so that way you keep going through the same cycles over and over again. Then you need to make it so that way you are able to know how to think instead of what to think. So that way you can have critical thinking skills that allow you to go after your true goals and life and whatnot. But the most important step out of all of this is the one we're talking about now, which is the present moment. Because if we are stuck in the past or we're clinging on to the future, things can go haywire very quickly. You know, by holding on to your resentment and your anger, you are literally perpetuating unhappiness, poverty, sickness, limitation, and a lack mentality in your own life. Do you really think that any of this stuff will help you get rich or live a serene life or have a life that is successful to yourself and whatnot, that's full of love and the things that we all claim that we want? Of course not. So we have to find a way to transmute this stuff. We have to find a way in order to make that happen. The more we live in the present moment, the less that's going to have an impact on our life. It's the same thing with like doubt and worry and fear and anxiety. It's all about us projecting onto the future, which has to do with our thoughts of the past. How many of these things that you've worried about or had anxiety about or have feared that would happen in the future have come true? For the vast majority of us, it's going to be most of it hasn't actually happened. Imagine all that time that was spent on something that never even occurred, and all the wasted potential that could have been used had we decided to use that time to actually create the life for ourselves that we want to create. All right, this is why it's so important to live in the present moment. It's the only thing that actually exists anyway. Past is gone. It is gone. We can't change it. There's nothing we can do about it. It is simply that which is. In other words, it's just a fact of our life, the truth, a story that we tell ourselves and whatnot. And if the story that we're telling ourselves is something very different from what we want to be living, well, we're going to get more of that same crappy story instead of living the one that we want to. You know, we need to really just decide that we're worth it, that we're worth the effort, that it's important for us to change, and to use the present moment as a way of transmuting our past. Now, you know, another like principle I want you to really think about here and is the following. There is nothing that stands still. It either takes me towards where I want to go or away from where I want to go. If it isn't helping me, it's hurting me. I want that to sink in. Once you really understand this principle, once you truly understand this dynamic that I'm laying out here for you, you will start taking actions in your own life that benefit you and make it so that way you can start doing things better. Sometimes it's as simple as we're stuck, we feel stuck, and we don't know how to get out. The only wrong thing to do in that situation of getting stuck in a rut and not knowing how to get out is to continue doing the same thing that you are doing now. You have to change something. What that something is, you have to decide. It could be something tiny, and it can start compounding and changing your life hugely. You never know how those type of things will play out for you. And once you start doing anything differently, it becomes easier to do other things differently. And again, it builds on itself, just like a muscle, just like discipline does, just like anything else that happens with it. And so this is another, you know, point of interest for what's going on. Imagine you were able to completely forgive everybody and everything that ever happened to you. Imagine you were able to make it so that you're able to forgive yourself, too. You can't do that when you're thinking about the past. Maybe you can do it while you're thinking about the future. Oh, my future self can do it, but why wouldn't you want to do it now if you can do it now? Why wouldn't you want to make it so that way you have that peace of mind now, rather than wait and making it so that way you have to have something drastic come along and change in your life and whatnot? Some people, that's what they need, unfortunately. So I'm going to give some techniques on how to deal with like worry and resentment and how to live in the present moment a bit more and that kind of stuff. Or for some people who need to take maybe a different step of making it so that way they have better focus, that way they can even be in the present moment more. In general, I'll go over some of that stuff too here. So very briefly, one question I ask myself all the time is, am I being present? By doing so, by asking that question, I'm putting myself back into present state of being, because that is what that question does in and of itself and helps me to recenter. For those of you that are focusing on like worry and how to deal with that and that kind of stuff with it, I ask myself the question, what problem do I have right now? And what do I have to worry about right now? Okay? So, either I'm dealing with that problem, right? Because I'm doing the best I can and actually going actively after fixing the problem, etc. Which means there's not much for me to worry about because I'm taking care of the problem. Or, I can't do anything about that problem. So, then I just need to accept that it is something that's there and deal with it in that particular matter. So the question is, why do I need to worry then? It's either being dealt with or I can't deal with it because it's outside of my control. Either way, there's no need for worry. Easier said than done, I know. I'm just trying to explain to you how this thought process works. And when you build a big enough muscle up for it, it becomes easier, of course. The other one, of course, is how do we make it so that way we deal with, if we have focus issues to where we can't even get into the present moment. Like some people, you know, maybe they want to meditate, which is a great way of getting us into the present moment and really like clearing our mind and helping debug our brain for a little bit and that kind of stuff. But we can't even focus long enough to make that happen. Well, instead of focusing internally, focus on something external. If you take a coin, say like a quarter, and you put it at eye level, and you make it so that way you try to push the edge of the coin with your mind, what'll happen is that if you do this for, say, 15 minutes a day, every day, for weeks or months, your attention span will start going back up. You are making it so that way your right reticular formation, which is part of your brain that has to do with focus, it's being used again and making it so it gets stronger, and then it'll make it so that way you're able to commit more to the present moment and focus more on it whenever the opportunity arises for you. So that's something else that can be done in this particular instance as well. Forgiving the past sometimes can be difficult for people. The question I ask them and myself whenever I find myself not adhering to living in the present moment, because I fall out of it too sometimes, and I need to remind myself to get back into it, is what benefit does this give me? Thinking about whatever it is that I'm thinking about. I'll give examples. If you resent rich people, how are you ever going to become rich? If you resent successful people, how are you ever going to become successful? Don't want to resent yourself, at least most of us don't. So because of that, makes getting to that goal much more difficult. I want you to imagine your worries, your doubts, your baggage, whatever it is, as literal luggage, literal baggage that we're carrying. And, you know, we're all going to the same destination in the end, which is death. and that kind of thing with it. And we're on this journey called life, and we're in this airport, and we're all going on the same plane, and we're all taking the stuff with it. But on the way to the plane, and on the way to traveling to where we all end up, some of us are carrying so much with us. Some of us are, you know, literally have cartfuls and cartfuls of baggage that we have that we're struggling to do anything with, that if we just put it down, it would make our life easier. Whereas others are only carrying a briefcase or a day pack or whatever. And so they're carrying just enough to make it so that way it's important to them. Enough to get by and pull from whatever they need from it, but then not enough to make it so that way they can't enjoy life. I brought this up before, but I think it's a very pertinent example. If I'm driving a car, I don't need to know how to drive a car at any other time, except when I'm doing it. And honestly, I don't even think about driving unless I'm thinking about a trip that I'm going on and planning for it, or if I'm actually driving in and of itself. It's a tool that we use whenever we need to use that tool. The issue is we use the tool in the wrong way whenever we don't necessarily need it. And so one of the biggest ways I've discovered to determine whether I have any control over my mind, my thoughts whatsoever, is to make it so that way I hold one consecutive thought in my mind for 15 seconds without it being interrupted by something else. If I can't do that, I have zero control over my mind at that moment, and it's in control of me. And so for those of you that might struggle with this, which will be most of us in our modern era, since our attention spans are 8 seconds or less, which means we can't even hold a thought for 8 seconds or less, my suggestion is to stop this listening to this podcast, go and try to make it so that way you do that for 15 seconds. And if you can't, then to figure out whatever the greatest moment in your life is, the one that brought you the most joy, and see if you can't hold that for 15 seconds. And if you can't hold that for 15 seconds, you have zero control over your mind. And that's what being in the present moment is. It's being in control of your mind to make it so that way you can live here in the now, rather than holding on to the resentment, holding on to the issues of our past, or to our projection onto the future of all of our worries, fears, and doubts and anxieties. Anyway, this is what this episode's about. This is the importance of it. It needs to be so that way we can live life to the fullest, making it so that way we are happier beings and whatnot, that we're more joyful beings, and that we don't dump our fears onto other people, either from projecting onto the future or from bringing stuff that happened to us in the past onto other people as well. Inevitably, we're all going to do it to a certain extent. The point is to mitigate it as much as possible until we've completely overcome our anxieties, worries, fears, doubts, resentments, our anger, our hatred, and making it so that way we live more beautiful, lighthearted, joyful, and inspired lives. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you found it useful in any way, shape, or form, please leave a rating. If you're listening to this on YouTube, please like and subscribe. For those of you who want to go further on, you can go check out my website and sign up for my email list in order to get more information regarding the initiate's journey. And I look forward to everybody showing up in the next episode. Thank you all for giving me your time and attention, the most valuable currencies that anybody can give to anybody else.